Hello, this is David Banner. This is my second podcast. The first one is Loving It All. It can be found on various platforms, Spotify, Google, Amazon, and also WDRT.org. Click on Programs, then click on Podcasts. This is my second one, and this is a book I wrote a few years ago called Frame Shifting, A Path to Wholeness. And it actually is sort of a predecessor to the Loving It All book. And I want you to realize that the point of view of this particular book is that there are events that happen to us that cause us to shift our perspective, shift our paradigm, you could call it. Things that shake us up and cause us to look at things differently. So in this preface, I want to introduce you to a few things that happened to me along the way that caused me to start seeing things differently. Texas, 1941, I just turned 80. I was born to a father who was at best agnostic, probably atheistic. And my mother was sort of a lukewarm Episcopal woman. And she felt like we should have some religious training, we and my two sisters. So she decided to send us to the local Episcopal church. So I became an acolyte, which is you have in the Catholic Church too. And I would be lighting the candles for the priest before he did the service and so forth. Well, I was 14 years old and I was behind the curtain as the service was about to start. And the priest asked me if I was ready with all the Latin things I'd memorized. And I asked him, so what's the purpose of all this Latin? He says, well, it's not important that you know what the purpose is or even what it means. It's just important that you memorize it, say it when on cue. I said, wait a second. I'm not going to say it unless I know what it means. He says, it's not important that you know what it means. That was my last day in the Episcopal Church, age 14. And that was my very first frame-shifting experience. I thought, this is ridiculous. You know, if you can't even tell me why I'm saying this and what it means, why do I do it? Well, I was a rebellious teenager, and you know how that goes. So, I have not returned to a church since then. So I started thinking, well, there must be something higher than just me. And at that time, I didn't know the word ego, but my ego. And so I started looking all the different churches I could go to, and I just sampled them all. I call it my religious dilettante period. I went to Baptist and Methodist and Christian and Holy Roller, Pentecostal, and all the way up to Lutheran and Church of Christ, Baptist, Unitarian, finally the Unity Church. That one seemed the most interesting to me, but it was still a church, and so I said, to heck with it. I'm not going to go to any more churches. So I just decided to live my life. Well, I began what Joseph Campbell called the hero's journey. I began looking for meaning in my life. And checking all these religions out didn't really do much for me. Then somebody recommended a book, 1970. So I was born in 41, so I'm 29 years old, I guess. And it's called Be Here Now by Ram Dass. Many of you have probably heard of it. And that book just blew the top of my head off. I thought, whoa, now this sounds like the truth. Frame shifting experience number two. So I thought, whoa. Well, a little personal history. I was married at that time to my childhood sweetheart, Jolynn Standifer. And we were going down different paths. I was working for a big consulting firm, making a lot of money back then, wearing wingtip shoes and wearing three-piece suits. And she was a hippie, smoking a lot of marijuana and playing music and majoring in sociology. You get the picture. So one day, we lived in Sharpstown, suburb of Houston. She was going to the University of Houston. I was working at Pete Marwick Mitchell in Houston. She sat me down one day and she said, "I'm leaving you." And I went, "What?" I said, "Yep." I said, "I'm leaving you because you are too boring." Well, suddenly I knew she was right. I thought, oh my gosh, I guess I am boring. "What can I do to help you decide to stay?" And she said, "Well, you could come with me and smoke some dope with some friends of mine." I said, "Okay, I'll do it." So we go to this friend of hers' house, and on the table, coffee table, there are 10 joints of Hawaiian weed rolled up. And of course, I was there with her, and then there was another couple there. It turns out that the guy and the other couple she was having sex with, I did not know this at this time. Anyway, the four of us smoked a couple of joints. They're on the floor laughing. I don't feel anything. So I decide to smoke the other 8 joints by myself. Well, you can imagine what happened. I was completely stoned. I didn't know that word then. And I had this really amazing frame-shifting experience. It felt like I was being dragged into a void, and it took all my psychic energy to get me out of the void. And then I'd go back into the void again, and all my psychic energy to get me, you know, back out again. So this went on for 12 hours. Finally, in the morning, it tapered off and stopped. And that was an amazing frame-shifting experience. I've never been the same since then, because I just realized there's much more to reality than my ordinary waking reality. So that was another amazing experience. Anyway, then I decided, well, didn't decide, I got sent to Vietnam in the U.S. Army. Here comes another experience. I'm flying over to Vietnam, landing in Saigon, getting briefed in the Army. I'm a second lieutenant, right? So I go downtown Saigon, and all of a sudden I notice in downtown Saigon all of these headquarters of oil companies. Esso was there, Texaco, Chevron, you name it. All the Gulf Oil, all these oil companies had headquarters in downtown Saigon. And suddenly it hit me. There's oil in the South China Sea. And this was the very first of our resource wars, as I call them. In other words, we were trying to take over this country so that we get their oil. Well, the story we were all told is we're there to fight for democracy and to help the Vietnamese become free of the communist influence. I had nothing to do with it. So anyway, I came back after a year in Vietnam and marched on Washington with the Vietnam vets against the war. So that was a major frame-shifting experience. Then I had another experience that really shifted my perspective. A friend of mine was in town, and I had just gotten a phone call from my then wife, Jo Lynn, and she was having an affair with a guy at the University of Antioch in Putney, Vermont, getting a master's degree in education. And she wanted me to come up there and live with her and live in a threesome with this guy. And I said, no, I'm not interested. So I filed for divorce. And I was pretty blue about that. My friend from out of town came in and said, "Hey, Dave, let's take you out dancing. I'm sure that some interesting things will happen and get your mind off of your pending divorce." I said, "Okay, fine, I'll do it." So we went to this nightclub, north part of Chicago, and there was a band there playing. They were sort of a Santana-like band, and everybody was dancing, and my buddy took off trying to hustle some woman. And I'm standing there looking at the band, looking at the crowd, and all of a sudden I'm aware of a presence behind me. I turned and looked, and there was this beautiful green-eyed brunette, I would say about 5'7", a beautiful figure staring at me. Whoa, this is interesting. And she just kept looking at me. And this went on for a couple of hours. And so finally they closed the place. And she came up to me and she said, "Would you like to come over to my house?" I said, "Well, okay, let's do that." Well, it's in the middle of February in Chicago, so you get the picture, it's cold. So she takes me over to her house in her car because I have no car. My car was wrecked the week before by another friend. So I go to her house, walk in the door, and in the living room I see what looks like an altar with a bunch of candles on it. I said, "What is that?" And she says, "Well, I'm a witch, and a transmedium means I communicate with spirits in other dimensions, and this is my altar." And I went, "Well, that's kind of weird, but okay, fine." Then she had a record player in the living room, and we put on some music, and I remember it was George Harrison's "All Things Must Pass." So we're listening to music. All of a sudden, we start making out. It gets pretty hot and heavy. She stops me. "Oh, stop. Can't do this." I said, "Okay, fine." She said, "You're going to have to leave." I said, "Okay, fine." So I got dressed. I partly undressed. Went out into the cold. Started hitchhiking home. I got picked up by a bunch of gay guys who did take me home. So I went to sleep, and this was about 2 in the morning, 3. Slept fitfully for a couple of hours, got up and said, "What the heck was that?" So I hitched back down there to this woman's place. She was there with a bunch of young men. Do you remember the song "Hotel California" by the Eagles? Well, it's a lot like that. These were all young men, and she said they were there to protect her. I said, "Okay, fine, whatever." So we start hanging out and smoking more marijuana and lighting candles. And pretty soon, it gets to be about 7 or 8 at night, and I'm really tired. So I said, "Can I go lie down in the bedroom and sleep for a while?" And she looked at me kind of funny and said, "Okay." So I went in there and went immediately to sleep. All of a sudden, I woke up with a start, and there they are, all these young boys and this woman standing around the bed. And I'm going, "What is going on?" She said, "You're going to have to leave. You're going to have to leave. Can't stay." Okay, fine. So I got my coat on and left and hitchhiked home. I said, "Wow, this is very, very strange." So the next thing that happened, as I hitchhiked back down there again, because I didn't know what was going on, she was there and she said, "My boys aren't coming today, so you can spend the night with me." Said, "All right, fine." So I spent the night with her and we made love all night long, fabulous. Next morning, she says, "You're going to have to leave. They're coming over pretty soon." I said, "Okay, fine." So I went home and I never saw her again. It was the most amazing frame-shifting experience I've ever had. It was like an alternative reality. And what it was about, I'm not really sure. Anyway, I've never seen her before, but it once again shifted my frame. And then I started asking deeper questions like, who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? And I realized that the culture that I was in had no answers other than superficial answers for these questions. For example, who am I? Well, you are your stuff, consumerism. Why am I here? Well, you're a miserable sinner and you have to atone for all your sins. I heard, you are your job or your career. In other words, that's what defines you. And the question of purpose, there were no answers for that. So what I was told is you're supposed to work hard, Protestant work ethic, raise a family, lead a righteous life, and then you'll die. And I thought, boy, this does not sound very promising. So anyway, I go off to school. My first year in college is at Texas Tech in Lubbock, Texas. I'm 1959. I'm standing in line, and back there they made you declare a major. Well, they don't do that anymore. So I'm standing in line. This guy behind me, I looked at him, and I don't have a clue what I'm going to say. And he said, oh, I've done some research, chemical engineering. They make lots of money. So I got to the front of the line, and I signed up for chemical engineering. Well, I don't even like chemistry. So after one semester, obviously, I changed out of that major and finished up with math and physics. Okay, so Thomas Kuhn, in his book Structure of Scientific Revolutions, talks about paradigms. And what I've been talking about are paradigm shifts. In other words, belief systems that get altered by events. Many authors have called states of consciousness are shifted. So I've had a number of those. So I guess what I want to do now is sum up this preface by saying frame-shifting experiences are extremely important. They help you understand yourself in a brand new way. And I'm still David Banner. You know, I'm still a father, a husband. I have all these roles. I was a university professor for many years. None of that has changed. It's just that I now have an expanded sense of who I am. And that's what frame shifting does for you. It starts moving along a path where you start to see that you are more than just your job, your career, your roles, etc., your stuff. All that is very, very superficial. And what you begin to realize is that who you are is a spiritual being having an experience in three-dimensional reality. And that's what I came to after all of these experiences. And it's only deepened since then. So this is probably enough for the preface. And let's stop here and we'll go on to chapter 1.